This morning, you all know me now by now. Most of you know me by now. I like to reminisce. And I'm reminiscing this morning about the old 3D movies. Now, 3D refers to, 3D in itself refers to three special dimensions of width, height, and color. And typically, that's the way we see things. When I see you, I see you in width, height, and color, you know, and depth, I should say, not color, but depth. So width, height, and depth. When you see something on a screen, something that's just like the screen that you're seeing right before you, you're not seeing that in three dimension. You're seeing that actually in a one dimension. It's a flat image. It's a flat screen. The entire physical world as we see it though is observed in three dimension. And you know, of course, when you look at different people, you observe different ways. For me, the width is almost the same as the height. Some of y'all will get that later. You know, when you wear a 38 waist, but you have a 28 inseam, that tells you something, you know. Width, height, and depth is what we're talking about in three dimension. The concept of 3D movies existed back in as early as 1915, but it wasn't until 1922 when the motion picture came out, The Power of Love, and it introduced the viewers to a whole new area of 3D or three-dimensional movie watching, as all of the watchers were giving, viewers were giving these really weird looking glasses. And they would have, a different color lens in them. One would be blue and the other lens would be red. And they literally begin to see things watching that movie in a different frame of mind, or if you they begin to watch it in 3D. You could take the glasses off and everything just looked just like it would in any other movie theater, but suddenly you put the 3D glasses on and things begin to jump off the screen. Okay. 3D movies have continued through the decade, but back in 2009, the release of the Avatar movie took 3D to a whole nother level, and that's when it became more familiar with this generation that we have in this room this morning, and I put up that picture because we all went out, and some of you will remember they had those pasteboard 3D glasses. You picked them up as you went in the movie theater, and then they had I know all of you holiness people don't go to the movies, okay? So for all of you holiness people that don't go to the movies, okay, you won't understand. But then we threw our glasses in the little cardboard container as you went out. But it was weird. I can remember, I don't think it was Avatar, but the first 3D movie I went to, I was sitting right up front, and it scared me to death, and I'm not afraid of anything. You know, it was like stuff was just jumping off on top of me, you know. It was weird. And so the animated creatures and all this stuff in Avatar begin to come off the screen seemingly. But it was all of those people wearing those weird pasteboard glasses, one red lens and the other the blue. And the whole principle of the different color lenses is that one caused the left eye to see the image in a different frame than the one with the red lens would see it. And what happens is the left eye and the red eye are capturing the image in a different light because of the colored glasses. And then when those two images, they're the same but yet they're different, when they hit the brain has the inability to divide them up. And your brain tries to put those images together, and then those two images combine to create a third image, thus we call it 3D. Okay? So what really happens is it's all an illusion. Our brain is tricked into seeing something that is really not there. You know, we deal with this more often than we would like to think. the enemy will trick us into seeing something or perceiving something in a way that maybe it's really not there. But I do want you to know this morning that the Word of God in itself is 3D. But it's not 3D in the means of trickery. The movie industry uses trickery to make us think things are jumping off the screen, but the Word of God is three-dimensional. The Word of God has width, it has height, and it has depth. And I'm not talking about the dimensions of the book itself, because you may have the Word of God on your phone. You may be listening to it through earbuds. But understand with me this morning that the Word of God is three-dimensional, meaning it has width, it has height, and it has depth. It is wide as it is tall. It is as deep as the depths of the seas. It is inerrant and it is fulfilling. It is complete. The Word of God gives us everything we need in every dimension possible to help us through life. So as we get started in this new year, I want to charge us with the 3Ds of ministry, if you would. Three dimensions of ministry that serve as the complete counsel of God. I love research. I love statistics. Sometimes I wonder why I wasn't a statistician in life. I do love statistics. I love records. I think we can learn much from them. And I was reading some this past week, and one in particular, and most of this is done through Lifeway Research. It talked about evangelism in the world of Christianity. We hear a lot of talk of Christianity dying, Christianity being on the downturn. There's one out of three churches perhaps could close this year. Or there's so much negative that we hear. But the one thing that's the most disturbing point of it all is the fact that evangelism has almost ceased to exist in the church. Now, through my generation and a lot of the generation of those gathering in this room this morning, evangelism to us was a preacher coming in and with a Bible and maybe a guitar. In the old days, some of them even carried accordions, and they would come in and they would preach and they would stay in the parsonage, and then we called that revival, and we began to embrace that as evangelism. But it's not. It's revival services, but it's not really evangelism. Evangelism is when we reach outside of our comfort zone, if you would. Now, I'm a churchman. I believe it. If I wasn't a churchman, I wouldn't struggle with to close or not to close the church services. I'm a churchman. I believe it's important for us to gather, and I believe it's important for us to assemble together as God's people. But understand the signs. I think it's still down at the end of the driveway. It may have blown away with all this wind that we have, and it's very worn. But on that sign, it says on one side as you come up the hill, it says enter to worship, and on the opposite side as you leave, it says exit to serve. The opportunity of evangelism is not necessarily, actually, it's very limited in this room. Sometimes we have opportunity to evangelize. If somebody comes into our church doors and they're lost, they don't know the Lord as their Savior, maybe they backslidden on God. And yes, we can have an opportunity to evangelize and to share Christ with them, but more times than not, that opportunity is going to occur outside the walls of our church. So a lot of the difficulty that we see in the church world today is not necessarily that the church is in trouble in the sense that the world around it's doing. It's the fact of the matter is we are not doing what we are called to do as the church in the sense of reaching the world. And we I'll refer to it a little bit later this morning, but we refer to it as the Great Commission, and oftentimes we limit that to missions, world missions work, but it starts right here at home. So, but what I want to share with you is the three D's of ministry that serve as the complete counsel of God in the sense of evangelism, and if we as the church will grasp these three D's, these three dimensions of ministry, I have no doubt that we will witness an expansion of the kingdom of God, and I have no doubt that churches once again will become revitalized and renewed, and churches would once again cease to be closing their doors, and in fact we would have to build more churches to contain the people there. Listen, the United States of America, absolutely, we are a post-Christian nation now, and we can get sad over that. We can grieve that, and quite frankly, we should grieve that. But on the other hand, there's exciting news, because there are more people to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ in America right now than there has ever been at any time before. Surely, as the Bible says, the fields are white unto harvest, but who is going to work the fields? The first deed that I want to share with you this afternoon is the deed of deliverance. The deed of deliverance, taken from Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. The Bible said, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure all diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. I want you to know that in the work of evangelism, we have the charge of deliverance. Understand with me, I think you all know this and realize this, Jesus is the healer, Jesus is the deliverer, Jesus is the redeemer. But yet, he calls, when we see the charge that he gave his 11, he called them together, and he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. This is the ministry of deliverance. Now listen, I understand there's wackos and nut hatches out there that have done all kinds of things, and they've traveled around and they've created sideshows. For everything God has created good, the enemy has tried to create a counterfeit for it. I understand that. I hope that you know that. Everything is not real. Everything is not genuine. Everything that we see is not to be latched onto. That's why, therefore, we try the spirits to see if they be of God. But understand this, that does not, by any means, does that ever diminish the working power of the blood of Jesus Christ that we just got through singing about just a few moments ago, that there's still power in the blood of Jesus Christ to deliver and to set free those which are being held captive. There's still power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ to drive out demons. There's still power and authority in the name of Jesus Christ to lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. There's still power in the name of Jesus Christ to go out and spread the gospel message and to see people saved, born again, redeemed out of the pit of hell sometimes, and washed and made whole and righteous and clean. The power of Jesus Christ is still working to see people delivered, to be saved, to be set free, and to be healed. If the church will go out, we can touch lives that have been racked with demons. We can touch lives that have been overcome with diseases, and we can reach lives that have been encompassed with spiritual bondage, and we can see them set free, not by our power, not by our might, but by the power and the name of Jesus Christ. And that is our, if you would, our charge as the church, because it was the charge of these 12, which represent the church throughout the ages. So it's time, church, that we once again begin to operate in the office of evangelism. It's time that we once again begin to go out and find the church and see the church manifesting. Not just us, you know, we've heard the expressions, we've called them holy huddles and blessed bubbles, and sometimes that's fitting. It's easy for us to come in here and to be comfortable, but it's time that we become uncomfortable for Jesus and start going out and touching lives and see them delivered. The second D. Dave, you'll have to advance. I'm not clicking, sir. Technical difficulties. It must be the snow. The second D is the work of discipleship. Once we reach people, it's our responsibility as the church to disciple people. You know, I used to fish. I haven't fished much in several years. When I first came over here, Mike Dillo told me he was going to take me fishing. He never did. You still owe me, Mike. I used to fish, I never was a good fisherman. Never considered myself to be a good fisherman. Trout fishing was probably my favorite. But then for several years we got into catfishing on Clater Lake at night. And, we'd go down and get us a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken and go out on that pontoon boat and catfish all night long. But, you know, every once in a while I'd be blessed enough to catch one. But and catfish is my preference of freshwater fish if I'm going to eat it, okay? But I have never caught a catfish that was cleaned. And pardon my graphic description, that has been clean, gutted, skint, and ready to put in a frying pan, let alone ready to eat. Okay? If that's what I want, I just go over to Long John Silver's or Captain D's, you know. But I never have caught a fish that was ready when I got it out of the water, when I pulled it out. This is what we find in the book of Acts when we read the scripture. It says, then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. I want you to pay attention. They weren't even called Christians. They were the church, but they weren't even called Christians until they had been taught. Wow. Because Christian means follower of Christ. So what we find is when we go out and we deliver, when we go out and we reach people, when we go out and minister to people, when we go out and impact their lives, then the responsibility shifts, or the responsibility begins to make a circle, and you'll understand the circle as we get to the end. The circle, we have a continuation of the circle, and then it's our responsibility to disciple. Because the fish has not been cleaned when you pull it into the boat. Disciples are pupils, as in one being taught. When Jesus gave the Great Commission to the 11, he commanded them to make disciples of all nations. Teach them. It's the responsibility of the church. It's the responsibility of us to teach people. Now listen, I was an Episcopalian at birth. I was an Episcopalian until I was about 12 years old, and then I became AG somehow. And I didn't even know what AG was. That's Assembly of God for those of you that don't know abbreviation. And then when I met a little blonde-headed gal, I became IPHC. Back then it was just Pentecostal Holiness. They didn't have the big long name. And so I didn't understand a lot of this stuff, and it was far beyond me in some ways. You know, I remember one time when I was in youth group. Here I was, an Episcopalian boy, hadn't been taught anything. We never read the Bible and anything like that. I'm sorry, we just didn't. You know, and I started going to Assemblies of God youth group, and they were, you know, back then we played games like scripture scrambles. Any of y'all ever remember playing that? Scripture scramble and we would have a classroom quiz where they spin that wheel and ask a big question, and whoever popped up, you know, answer the question first, and somebody asked a question, and I don't remember the question exactly, but I do remember the answer. The answer was Elijah. That was the correct answer. I jumped up on my feet, sitting right here on this front row. I jumped up to my seat and I said, Kalijah. And some of you don't understand that. You never listened to that Hank Williams song. Kalijah was an old Indian. Standing by the way. No. But I was ignorant. Some of you will probably say, you're still ignorant, preacher. I was ignorant to a lot of things. Let me tell you something. And here I am a few years later. Okay. Here I am 51 years later. Let me tell you something. I am still learning. I am still a pupil. I'm still a disciple of the Word of God. I'm still learning. And if I ever cease to be able to learn something from the Word of God, there one of two things have happened. Either I'm in trouble or I have been raptured. And I know I haven't been raptured. But the Word of God teaches us and we learn from it. But we learn from one another. And one of the primary responsibilities of the church, we deliver people and then we disciple people. We reach out, we reach not only out to them, but we reach into them and we minister into their lives and we teach them the Word of God. I think about the eunuch. As he sat upon his wagon, he said, I've not even so much as heard if there be a Holy Ghost. He had never been taught. And sometimes we think that everybody that walks, that we come in contact with, and everybody that we reach, we tend to think they can speak Christianese just like we can. You know, we can speak some very fluent Christianese. You know, how art thou, brother? You know, we can pray in Shakespearean, we can pray in King James English, just like Jesus did. We're good at all of that stuff. And sometimes if we're not real careful, we can completely lose communication and we can cut ourselves off from the people that we have been reaching and we've tried to reach. But listen, I'm one that I think, listen, be practical in teaching Jesus to the people that we have been able to reach and minister to. You don't have to be, have a doctrine in theology. You don't have to be any kind of a person of eloquent speech, but just share the love of Jesus and the Word of God with people and teach them. And even at the best, sheep still stink. Sheep still stink. Farm across the road from us when I was growing up. They raised sheep and I've been there many a time shearing sheep. Let me tell you something. Sheep stink. You can wash them. You can wash them and you can soap them up and rinse them off. But when it comes down to it, sheep still smell like sheep. And the reality of it is, as we reach people and we minister to the lives of people, I've got news for you. You all smell like sheep. I still smell like a sheep. Because none of us have quite arrived at that place yet. And that goes back to that point that we all still need to be taught. We all still need to be learned. But yet, as we learn, we can learn others. And we minister to others through the work of evangelism. We deliver people and then we disciple people. Go ahead, Dave, if you would, sir. And the third D is dispatching people. And as we dispatch people, that comes into the Great Commission, as we call it. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. You see, the circle's coming all the way around. Because you've delivered people, and then you've discipled people, and now he's saying go, or he's dispatching. He's saying go into all the world. You're being dispatched in all the world. He didn't say you're being dispatched to the church. You know, listen, teaching classes are good. That's all good. That's well. It has its place. But that falls under discipleship. But when we begin to look at the work of evangelism, discipleship is included in evangelism, and discipleship is going to teach us to go. Discipleship, if we've truly been discipled, we're going to be discipled that we need to go. We need to proceed. We need to go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. So the circle begins to come all the way around. And as the circle becomes all the way around, what we find as we go, if we will be faithful to go, what happens when we go is we find ourselves then coming right back to deliverance. Because you deliver, you've been delivered, then you get discipled, and then you go, and then you deliver somebody else. That's the circle. That's the circle of evangelism, if you would. And I know it could be considered a triangle, I guess. But it's the circle of evangelism. And that's just because I couldn't find a circle that I liked on the PowerPoint program. But we deliver, we disciple, and then we dispatch. And as we dispatch, we start all over again. This is very simply the principle of multiplication. And the principle of multiplication is what God has left us with as the church. Be fruitful, he said, and multiply. Now, addition is good. You know, if you add something, you know, and we add to the church daily such as should be saved. There's nothing wrong with addition. I'm not saying anything. But really, when you begin to multiply, multiplying is a significant increase, if you would. So the church, as we look, and sometimes we're grim and we're dim, and sometimes we're curious of what will happen. And we listen to all of the reports and even the Christian news. This pastor's failed and that pastor's failed. This church down the road is closed and this church down the road is near closing and we're post-Christian and we hear all of that negative press. But the reality of it is the church of God is still, now I'm not talking about a denomination, but the church of God is still alive and well if we will do what God has called us to do. It may not be as easy as it once was for us. It may be a little bit more uncomfortable than it used to be, but the reality of it is maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a good thing because we have got used to sitting in that holy huddle, that blessed bubble that I mentioned a little while back, and we find ourselves going into the highways and hedges to seek who we can find to come to the supper. Otherwise, we may find ourselves eating alone. So the fields are white unto harvest. I can promise you, and I don't know the details, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I can promise you that there are more unsaved people in Mercer County, West Virginia, than there are saved people. I can promise you that. I can promise you that there are people in your neighborhood that are unsaved. I can promise you, now it's been a few years back and I don't have it to pull out this morning, but I did some numbers, some of it's based on census work and what have you. I can promise you right now that if everybody within a 5-mile radius of this church were to be reached for Jesus Christ and to find themselves church, this church, Deliverance Temple, all the other churches of this area, we could not contain them. But it's not going to happen as long as we sit in our blessed bubble, in our holy huddle. The work of evangelism has got to come back to the church. The work of evangelism going out, you know, and preaching to the home folks here. You know, for a number of years now, we've been doing it, and I don't know if you've even really caught on to it. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But we've called them out of the wall events. They're not just events. They're opportunities. It's creating opportunities, and it's done with intentionality. That we go outside the walls of this building to touch lives, even if it's just out on the parking lot. But it could be down here at the bank. And it could be over at Cole Harley Davidson. And it could be up on Ramey's parking lot. But wherever we go outside the church. Because listen, the days are past when the world is coming to us. We've got to go into the world. Not be of the world, but we've got to go into the world. What did I just read to you a few minutes ago? He spoke to the 11. Go. Go into the world and preach the gospel to all creation, all nations. Pastor. We do so much missions. We do so much in missions. We're such a very, very prominent missions church. Hey, and that's good. That's good. But the Bible says go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the uttermost parts of the world. You know, when that was spoken, they were right in Jerusalem. If we could save the continent of Africa, Europe, Asia, if we could save all of those continents of the world, but yet Mercer County die lost and go to hell, I don't know that we've really done exactly what we needed to do. Follow what I'm saying? Sometimes it's easy. Missions is easy. It's an easy way for us. And I'm not downing missions or criticizing missions in any way or taking away from it. We're going to continue to support missions. We're going to bless the missionaries that are all over the world. And I want to see the fruit of all the effort. I enjoy seeing and hearing the reports of that. But my point is there is a world right here around us that is on its way to hell. And it's up to us to get out there, to offer them deliverance, to disciple them, and then to dispatch them. To start the circle all over again. And then you'll see the church grow. If you don't believe this is how it works, just go back and read the New Testament. And you will find how the church grew. Some boys were fishing by the seashore. And they are discipled. They're delivered. Then they're discipled. And then Jesus says, go. We have the same commissioning as the church. God is calling us into the same work. So, you want to see the church grow? You want to see the kingdom of God increase? I've given you the simple formula to do that. All we have to do is latch hold of it and go. I'm going to ask John if you want to come back up to the piano just a moment. And sometimes we have to make up our mind. That we're going to go beyond excuses. Let me tell you, you've heard me say this before. If you had, somebody told me, you know, 40 years ago that I would ever be preaching, let alone pastoring a church, I'd have said, you're crazy. I had long hair, believe it or not. I had long hair. And I was so bashful in my long hair, and I would stand up been playing music since I was like 12 years old, and I'd be up playing music in front of people, and I'd be standing with my head down like this, and my hair was so long, I looked like Cousin It. Because I was so backward. And you may not believe this. You might disagree, but my wife does this. I'm still an introvert. Now, as you get older, introversion seems to diminish some, because as you get older, you just talk to everybody anyway, you know. But the reality of it is, never say never. Never say God can't use me. Never say I can't do this. Never say I can't go out and minister to people. Never say, listen, it's just one-on-one. Listen, one of the greatest things you can do is to be a friend to somebody. And if you will just be a friend to somebody, it will give them the opportunity to share Jesus with them. And most of you in here you have friends. There's two or three of you probably don't. But most of you in here have friends. Just share Jesus with your friend. Just share Jesus with your family. Just share Jesus. Listen, I don't want you to go with, I want you to be down here. I don't want you to feel like I'm saying you need to go down here on the street corner. If the Holy Spirit leads you to that, then go ahead. But I'm not saying, I'm just saying, just be a friend to somebody. And share the deliverance of the gospel with them. And then lead them into discipleship. And if discipleship is done well, then guess what? They're going to go and they're going to win somebody else to the kingdom of God. That's the way the kingdom of God increases. So while we sit back and just wait on somebody, hopefully somebody new is going to show up this morning, we could go out and be reaching people for the gospel. I know hunting season, all the hunting season's about over. But I had a buddy of mine one time, back in the day when I actually hunted, and I said, Johnny, you killed a deer? He said, no. He said, I ain't seen a single one. I said, really? He said, no. I said, well, what's wrong? He said, none's run through my living room. He said, I haven't been up off a couch all winter. We can't wait for them to run through the walls of our sanctuary. We've got to go out into the fields that are white unto harvest. But we've got to reach them. We've got to reach them with passion, with desire. Delivering, discipling, and dispatching. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be sons and daughters. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us, Lord, into service. Lord, every single one of us, God, have in this room, we have an amazing responsibility to help somebody else find you. And God, I pray, Lord, as we are in this room today, that we will not take that responsibility lightly. But God, we will realize whatever circumstance we live in our lives, whatever our day-to-day walk is, wherever we go, the people that we meet, Lord, that there is always opportunity to share you. There's always opportunity to share your deliverance. There's salvation. There's healing. There's deliverance from demonic depression. God, help us to not only to be good students, but help us to be good teachers. May the work of discipleship manifest in our being, in who we are, that we may raise more sons and more daughters up to go into the world. That the cycle may start all over again. And you will multiply believers. And the church will increase. Lord, that number that no man can number will be added to daily. God, may we be keepers of the commission that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.